Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio.
Thank you for staying tuned. If you've just tuned in, my name's Renee Giacchino. I'm corporate counsel for the Center for Individual Freedom. And if you want to learn more about my organization, I encourage you to get on the internet and check us out at www.cfif.org. It is now my pleasure to welcome to your turn Stephen Law. He is the Chief Legal Officer and General Counsel at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Prior to joining the Chamber of Commerce, he served as Deputy Secretary and Chief of Staff at the U.S. Department of Labor. And before that, he was Executive Director of the National Republican Senatorial Committee, where he directed political strategy and advertising and was Chief of Staff to Senator Mitch McConnell. Mr. Law, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. You there?
It's great to be on your turn.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you coming on. Now, I'm going to start, I think, backwards with this interview because there's a question that I want to make sure that I get in, and I know the phone lines are going to get lit up when I announce the topic of what we're going to start talking about. But you have a BA in music from the University of California, and you went on to law school. Did you ever, at any time when you were in your undergraduate degree, in the music department, think that you would eventually end up, you know, as a member of the U.S. Supreme Court? I know that that's listed as one of the bars that you belong to.
Well, you know, when I was studying music, I realized pretty early on that I wasn't anywhere near as good as a lot of my classmates who were struggling pretty hard, so I realized I better do something else. And you're exactly right. I hadn't dreamed that I'd end up working in the Senate and spending time at the Supreme Court bar and elsewhere, but it's been a great ride and it's been a lot of fun, and it's also an opportunity to try to keep bad things from happening legislatively in this country.
Well, and there's a lot of work to be done, and I guess I can say this because I myself hold a law degree. If all else fails, go to law school, right?
Yeah, that's right.
There you go. Well, I'd like to have you tell us first a little bit about the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. A lot of folks are very familiar, I know, with their own local Chamber of Commerce and maybe even the state Chamber of Commerce. Tell us about the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, its mission, and kind of some of the projects that you guys are working on at a national and maybe even, you know, state or local level.
Yeah, absolutely, and I appreciate that. The U.S. Chamber was founded at the beginning of the 20th century. It was proposed by then-President Taft, and it's a national advocacy organization. Most of what we do is advocate on behalf of business on a variety of issues, from taxes to litigation reform to sound energy policy and trade, and then more recently and very, very intensively in pushing back on organized labor's very aggressive agenda. And so we work very often with state and local chambers. We've got a great relationship with the Florida State Chamber. It's one of the best chambers in the country in terms of defending small business interests, and they've been a great partner with us in so many of the efforts that we've undertaken. And we also partner with a lot of different groups. Just before I went on, I heard you mention the Center for Individual Freedom. We've got a great relationship with them on litigation reform efforts. So we work with anybody who wants to work with us, and we've had a great result over the last many years.
Well, it's interesting. One of the things that you mentioned, that the U.S. Chamber is the world's largest business federation, and you represent more than 3 million businesses and organizations. And you mentioned small businesses. When people think about the Chamber, a lot of them think, oh, yeah, they're representing, you know, the car companies, which is probably the least popular thing to be doing right now. But nonetheless, I'm from Michigan, and, you know, my family has, you know, that put food on our table. So it pains me to talk and hear the car industry talked about it as it has been of late. But really, when we talk about businesses, I mean, we're talking about businesses with, you know, employee roles that are one, aren't we, as well?
Yeah, we have a lot of very, very small businesses members, even sole proprietorships, and we also have many of the Fortune 500 companies, and that tends to make us take on a fairly broad array of issues. But what we find is most businesses, whether they're large or small, are concerned about out-of-control litigation. They're concerned about big tax increases. They're concerned about environmental regulations that make it impossible to do business, and they're very, very concerned about what the organized labor resurgence means for them, their businesses, and their workforce.
If you want to learn more about the U.S. Chamber and how they're fighting for your business, my business, our business, look them up at uschamber.com. All right, let's talk about this hot issue called card check. And I'm not talking about when you show up at the bar and you got to show your ID. I'm not talking about what I think a lot of people people thought they were talking about during the election cycle, is that, and that is having to show a driver's license, you know, before you voted. That's not at all what card check is. What is it?
Well, it's something that everyone's going to have to learn about because it could become the law of the land. Under current law, if a union wants to organize a workplace, they have to do it by a secret ballot election. And it's the same kind of process that we use to elect the president. People go into the privacy of a voting booth and they cast their vote. Do they want to join a union or not join a union? And what the unions want to do is get rid of the secret ballot protection. They want to be able to send their union organizers directly to workers, stick a card in front of them, and make them sign in front of them as to whether they want a union or not. So the union organizer gets to know how the worker voted, whether they wanted a union, and that just opens the door to a tremendous amount of harassment and intimidation that does go on and would get much worse under this legislation. It entirely removes the role of the employer from the process, and it completely disenfranchises workers. And from our perspective, you know, here it is just a week after an election of historic proportions, and we're already talking about stripping away a fundamental democratic protection that workers enjoy in the workplace.
President-elect Obama, did he have a position on this issue? I know that Forbes, I read something recently where Forbes magazine thinks that this should have, you know, been the issue that would have lost the election for Obama, but no one paid any attention to it.
This is a sleeper issue. It's very interesting. President-elect Obama is a supporter of the Employee Free Choice Act or card check. He said it would be a big priority of his administration. And the problem with the issue is that a lot of people don't think it would ever affect them. They think that they value the secret ballot vote. But they think that they would never be in a workplace that would be organized. And what they don't know is that the card check legislation would make it so easy and inexpensive for unions to come into almost any workplace that you'd see a huge amount of organizing activity, and chances are they'd be coming to a dark parking lot near you to try to get you to sign up to vote.
In a minute, I want to ask you about, and this is another reason folks want to stay tuned for this, I want to ask you, not just, you know, maybe we've got some folks out there who are retired and they're not working anymore or they don't work anywhere. You know, they're the business of one, but this truly will impact them as well. But before we do that, we've got a caller on hold. Maybe we take his call.
That sounds like a good idea.
Okay, go ahead. AJ, it's your turn.
Yes, I'm going to speak out in regards to this car check thing. I used to be a union organizer early in my youth, and I was trained in how they operate in business. I'm going to say this point blank. I hope and I pray that the Chamber of Commerce, the conservative movement in general, you're going to have to organize opposition against this because this is a jobs killer. They had this in the works years ago. To them, time's on their side. And now they got the individuals in place to go ahead and enact this, and it will get enacted, unfortunately, next year. They got their legal department all ready to go ahead and hit states, write the work laws, and that needs to be explained a little bit more in detail. But when it comes right down to it, they're going to use leverage to where a union organizer could go into, say, Walmart, go ahead and start organizing, and if Walmart management speaks out against this, the management and Walmart in general is going to be on the losing end of this. This is how dangerous it's going to get. This is going to be a job killer. You know, I cannot say more. Like I said, I was trained in this when I was young, so I kind of know a little bit of what I'm talking about.
Mr. Law, before you comment on that, AJ, I do want to ask you, what turned you around? I mean, you were on the inside looking in, and now, you know, you've seen the light, so to speak. What turned you on around about this card check issue?
Basically, I became a conservative. That's just point blank. I don't support any political party, but I'm a conservative. I'm a capitalist. I was in the stock market. The unions did serve their purposes. Granted, you need a good, proper check and balance system on both ends. The biggest complaint right now is with CEOs. Their pay has become overly excessive. There's a problem right there. This is what fuels the whole thing. There is a middle ground. I've worked with some really good organizers. These guys used to go in and negotiate with the CEO and say, well, for us to give, you have to give up your CEO package, bring your salary down to $200,000 a year. So, but the problem is that, I've seen the good and the bad points of it. You know, I was on the inside. Granted, if I'm a capitalist, I don't want to see businesses destroyed, and this will destroy business. I'm going to tell you point blank. This is a done deal. So when you see your unemployment rate going up, way up next year, it's going to start sooner than later because the employers your investors see this coming. I just hope there's some good opposition to this, but, you know, unless people wake up and realize what's going to really happen, these people will come like in the state of Florida.
States where it's not been economical for them to go. They could go into individual retail establishments or, as he said, you know, like a local McDonald's franchise and organize there. They never would have done it before because it was too expensive to run a secret ballot election. But if they can go show up in the parking lot and line up just a bare majority of people to sign cards, whether they intimidate them or harass them or the employee doesn't even know what he's signing, they've got a unionized workplace. And in addition to that, as AJ was saying, there are some other tools in this legislation, higher penalties on employers, and in addition to that, they will control the National Labor Relations Board because of appointments on this election. And the entire enforcement process of on how these elections are run and how penalties are meted out will be entirely in the hands of the union. And so our objective at the chamber is to light up a grassroots prairie fire on this. We've had a lot of state and local chambers weigh in. We ran a lot of advertising, and we're just going to kick it into another gear this year to make sure that people focus on this issue, that they contact their elected representatives in Washington and let them know in no uncertain terms that this legislation cannot be passed. We cannot be taking away workers' secret ballot rights and subjecting small businesses to unbelievable abuse at the hands of organizers.
I want to say one more thing before I go. Like I said, I was trained. I've met with the AFL-CIO people when they were trying to unionize a certain industry, which it will now be. But this goes beyond the United States. This is the Union International. So people must realize they got funds coming in from outside, where, like the European Union, where they're heavily unionized. I can't stress this more. This is a done deal. So it's going to take the general public to say no, but for the foreseeable future, you will see unions coming here, down here in Florida, Alabama, Georgia. And this may also destroy the unions in the long run. People wake up and realize you're going to be paying a far higher price for your product, a shirt, a car, you name it. This is money, and that's basically all it boils down to. And I'm just going to go ahead and get off the air and let some other people contact, have their 2 cents worth.
Well, we appreciate that. We do need to take a real quick break. If you've got a question, please feel free to call us at 850-623-1330. We are talking with Stephen Law. He's the Chief Legal Officer and General Counsel at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. You can find them on the web at uschamber.com. And we are talking about card check, and that's really a worker's decision to join a union and how that should be done in private and how they are trying to take that right away from the employees. And in fact, it's going to result in, as we've talked about, the risk of coercion. They're trying to take the ballot, private ballots away, which we deem to be a basic American right. So to learn more, please stay tuned. We'll be right back after this short break.
Now, back to your turn on 1330 WEBY, Northwest Florida's Talk Radio.
If you agree that an employee's decision to join a union should be made in private and that private ballots are a basic American right, then you believe, as I do, that the card check legislation, which likely will come back to the table, it was here in 2007, a couple years before then, and there's talk that it will be back again. We need to stay focused on this issue. We need, as Stephen Law, Chief Legal Officer and General Counsel for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, who is our guest right now, has told us, we need a grassroots, we need to start a prairie fire of grassroots effort. We all need to be contacting our legislators. It's not too early right now. Don't wait for this to be put on the table. We've got lots of callers on hold. I'm going to go ahead and take the next one. Ray, thanks so much. It's your turn.
Yes. I think you... I agree that you should have a secret ballot, but I wanted to add something with regard to the at-will clause that's in most of the clauses for professionals that work in 49 out of 50 states. What that simply means is that you can be terminated with no reason whatsoever just by a letter that ends your employment that very day. So, I mean, I've been working under an at-will clause myself for quite some time. But see, in this case, you are up against the big company all by yourself, and for whatever reason they decide, they just simply send a letter, and that's the end of you that day. And there's no recourse through the legal channels. But go ahead, I'm going to listen to your response.
Okay, thank you, Ray. We appreciate the call. Steve, how do you want to respond to that?
Well, I think at-will employment is something that was one of those things where people say it's not the best system, but then when you look at other systems, it may be the best of all alternatives. In Europe, for example, a number of countries have experimented with various mandates requiring an appeals process, requiring a series of reasons, things like that that tie the employer's hands, and it's ended up becoming very, very difficult to ever downsize or to ever even remove employees for legitimate reasons. And as a result, the labor market in Europe is much more stagnant, much less flexible than in the U.S. In fact, people are more resistant to hiring people in Europe than they are here because they're so concerned about this bureaucratic process for ever being able to move an employee out. When I was at the Department of Labor, what we tried to focus on was creating opportunities for workers to get training and to get other career assistance to help them navigate a job loss for whatever reason they encountered it. And we generally found that was the best approach, was to give people new opportunities and options and not to tie the hands of the employer, which usually leads to a lot of unanticipated consequences, which includes employers not being willing to hire if they don't have absolute certainty about what the process will be if they ever need to change the size of their workforce.
Well, let me ask you this. If folks do have a true problem with at-will statutes that exist in their state, I mean, the answer isn't, as I see it, the answer isn't card check. The answer isn't unionization. The answer is fix what's broken. If you think it's broken, then look at the at-will laws and how those can be changed. But, I mean, is unionization the answer?
Well, you know, that's a great point because the unions say that they need the card check legislation because, in their view, employers unfairly abuse the process. They threaten workers and a variety of other alleged sins. The truth of the matter is there isn't much of a record to support that. But if it were true, then there are things that could be done to the process to make it, to put higher penalties, for example, on things like that. But what this does is simply throw that system out entirely, and then on top of that, it actually hurts workers. If employers are the problem, I don't know why the unions are trying to get a law passed that takes away workers' protection. That's exactly in the wrong direction, it seems to me, if this is such a problem.
Absolutely. Well, let me make sure that folks, when they pick up their newspaper, when they're watching the news, they know what it is they're talking about. I mean, you know, we've seen the shell game. The American Trial Lawyers recently changed their name to the American Association for Justice. You know, it's kind of the sheep in or the wolf in sheep's clothing. Tell us about, how when they may not hear card check. What's the terminology they may hear?
Well, typically the way the legislation is referred to is they call it the Employee Free Choice Act. That's the official term for it. And in fact, I've seen advertisements recently where organized labor will run ads and they'll say that unions are a ticket to the middle class. Unions will help workers. The Employee Free Choice Act will make it easier to form a union, and therefore you should support the Employee Free Choice Act. They have absolutely no details in any of their advertising about what this legislation does, and that's because they know that the legislation is so unpalatable because it takes away that fundamental protection of a secret ballot vote for workers in union elections. It also imposes a requirement for the employer and the union to reach a first contract within a prescribed period. And if they don't do that, the federal government will step in and write the terms of the contract. They will actually dictate pay and benefits and work rules and union rights for workers, and it will have the full force and effect of a federal law. And this is something that we've never seen in this country. This is the nationalization of labor management relations in this country. And workers would be denied the right to vote on their first contract. Again, something we've never seen in this country. It's astonishing to me that organized labor would be in favor of such a complete disenfranchisement of workers, and that's why the unions don't want to talk about what's in the bill.
All right, we've got about 30 seconds left. If folks are interested in joining helping set the prairie fire on this grassroots effort, where can they go to learn more and get organized?
Well, we'd encourage them to go to our website, uschamber.com /WFI, which stands for the Workforce Freedom Initiative. That-